VOA News, I'm Michael Brown. U.S. authorities say they have no intention of easing their maximum pressure campaign against Iran, even as evidence suggests the regime in Tehran is lashing out in increasingly dangerous ways. But U.S. officials also cautioned they are not looking to start a war. Former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq Christopher Hill tells the Associated Press tensions between the U.S. and Iran has created a dangerous situation.
I think it's a pretty dangerous situation. There's certainly a lot of room for miscalculation. I think the president had in mind that he would get the Iranians into a position where they wanted to talk to him. He would get some improvement on the JCPOA, the Iran deal. But I don't think the Iranians want to play along with that. So now we have a question of how to calm this thing down.
Hill said he hopes the U.S. gets some backing from its allies before it takes the situation any farther. President Trump formally launching his 2020 reelection campaign Tuesday night by portraying himself as the solution to Democrats he claims are out to destroy the country.
Our radical Democrat opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you, and they want to destroy our country as we know it. Not acceptable. It's not going to happen.
Two dozen Democrats are competing for their party's nomination to take on Trump in November of 2020. Many of the top Democrats lead Trump in opinion polls in battleground states. Trump says his internal polling shows him doing very well. For details on much more news, as always, we invite you to join us at our website, that is voanews.com, and on the VOA mobile app. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. The House Judiciary Committee will review, or interview rather, former White House Communications Director Hope Hicks behind closed doors today. The first time lawmakers will hear from a person linked to the president's inner circle since the release of the special counsel Robert Mueller's report. Still, it's unclear how much new information Hicks will provide. She already cooperated extensively with Mueller's probe, and a White House lawyer who will be in the room for the interview is expected to try and block her from answering certain questions. The panel also has subpoenaed Hicks for documents, but she has only partially complied. She agreed to provide some information from her work on Trump's campaign, according to the judiciary panel, but none from her time at the White House. The Trump administration is close to completing one of its biggest rollbacks of environmental rules, replacing a landmark effort by the Obama administration that sought to wean the nation off coal-fired power plants and their climate-damaging pollution. The final Trump administration replacement rule, expected as soon as this week, instead would give individual states wide discretion to decide whether to require limited efficiency upgrades at individual coal-fired power plants. The European Union on Tuesday calling on its members to accelerate efforts to meet the 2030 climate goals. A review showed them on track to meet their overall emissions reduction goal, but falling short of other specific targets. As EU leaders debate whether to target going carbon neutral by 2050, at a summit later this week, the audit showed the 28-nation bloc on track to meet its headline pledge of cutting emissions by 40% by 2030. UN negotiators and several UN nations are pushing for the bloc to show leadership ahead of global climate talks by increasing its goals. The United States said Tuesday is seeking a comprehensive peace agreement with the Taliban that would cover counterterrorism, assurances, withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan, intra-Afghan talks, define a political settlement to the war, and a permanent ceasefire. The chief U.S. peace negotiator says the Taliban accepts the framework of the agreement. The adversaries in the 17-year-old Afghan war are expected to meet in Qatar the next few days for a crucial round of peace talks. And former Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, the country's first democratically elected head of state, who was later ousted from power, was buried on Tuesday, a day after collapsing inside a Cairo courthouse. He died of an apparent heart attack. For details on more news, please join us at voanews.com. I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Welcome again to your super show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. From our studio here in Washington, D.C., I am David Vander. Hot rocking sounds from across the African continent will be coming to you again. But right now, let's get started with Bless Somebody by Rebecca from Sierra Leone. And right after that, Hungry Children by Chachi Tadese of Ethiopia. Bless Somebody right now by Rebecca from Sierra Leone.
Hey, hey. Saints of God, has the Lord been good to you, 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 and you? Why don't you join me as we sing and dance like King David?
I will praise his name every day, every night. I know that my life will never be the same again. Gonna praise the Lord without you. I don't know what I would have done with my life. The Lord will bless somebody here today. Somebody here
Hungry Children by Chachi Tadese of Ethiopia, and right before that was Bless Somebody by Rebecca from Sierra Leone. This is Heart. You are listening to the African Beat on the Voice of America. When I come back, I'll be talking to my guest, Victoria Ole Eluzai. I told you some stories are worth listening to, and this is one kind of a story. Listen to it and enjoy the music. This is the African Beat, and I'm David Vandy.
The African Beat, with music of Africa, from the Voice of America. We love it.
You love it, we love you, and so we want to keep hearing from you. If you have any comments about our show, contact us by email on africanbeat@voanews.com. africanbeat@voanews.com. Tell us what you think about this show. If you have a request, you can call us in the United States on 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, you press 65 and leave your message. Musica La Kakwa by Victoria Ole Eluzai is taking us into that part of the show right now. Victoria Ole Eluzai. Oh, I love that name. It's beautiful. And today I have as my guest. Welcome to the African Beat, Victoria.
Thank you very much.
You know, I always call your name Foo, Victoria Ole Eluzai.
And you pronounce it very well.
It's very musical.
Oh, thanks for that.
It's very musical.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I know you've been singing for quite a while. When I was reading about you, you started in church, in Sunday school, you know. And what I like most is when you said when the elders are talking, you don't like to sit with them because most of their talking are boring and very monotonous. You like to listen to music and you like strings and all this
That's
stuff.
Right.
So tell me more a little bit about yourself.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, my name is Victoria Eluzai, like you've correctly called it. And in my tradition, they give so many names to a child. Once a child is born, the side of the mother would give their names, the side of the father. Sometimes even the siblings also give names. So mine is given by a sibling. Mm. And I got a name, Ole Maru. And so over time, it became a shortcut. It's Ole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the name that everybody in the house calls me by. And also my close friends, they call me Ole Maru. I mean Ole. So for my music career, I decided to be a little bit different, because when I am in my professional health line, I'm very different. So okay. I decided to separate the lines with the name.
The lines with the name?
Yes. So I get a Victoria Jabe Elozai for the official, but I keep Ole because I think the characters of the two are very different.
They should be different. But yeah. But I tell you, it is Ole that actually brought out the person.
Yeah.
You know, it is Ole that actually brought out the person. And you know, you actually sprung into stardom with a particular song, Cry for Peace.
Correct.
What was going through your mind when you were putting a song like that together?
Yeah, it's a long story, but I'll give you the impression that brought me to that song. We were displaced during the war times. We were displaced. The people from the south were displaced to the northern part of the country. And so we were all living in Khartoum, which is the capital city of Sudan.
You were displaced in your own country?
We were displaced, yeah, within our own country. Because the war front was in the southern part of the country. And so the disturbances were mainly affecting the people living in the south. Mm-hmm. Then our team, we all moved. Some of us who are in a particular area of the south, we were able to move to the north. But others were sort of cut off. And in my family, we are 12. Then at that time when the cutoff was happening, mm-hmm. we were like five. We lost two of our siblings way before I was born. So by the time I came to know ourselves, we were only 10. So now this 10, we were like five.
Five on this side,
yeah,
five
and
the other
five
side.
On the other side. And then also our father by now had died. He died in 1985. And this was 1987, 88, when these problems escalated. So on our side, we had our mom. The other five didn't have her. Wow. Unfortunately, the other side that didn't have her also constituted the younger side, because there were two of my followers, a brother and a sister, who are much younger than myself. And this was in 85. And our last born is 1979, so you can imagine how old she was in 1985. So that was when it happened. So the five, we do not know what happened to the other five, but the rest of us, we moved to the north. So there was a lot of trauma, a lot of hardships that we were experiencing. The trauma of the loss of the family, which you don't know what is happening to them, you mm-hmm. don't know what news you'll get to know about them, and so on. And I felt that my mom must have been bearing a lot more of this than anybody else, because we were all her children and she's missing the younger ones.
Yeah, the younger
five and the younger ones to make it worse. So I just watched my mom. When we moved to the north, we lived in a displaced people's setting. It was an area that we were not allowed to construct anything permanent in it. So people were setting up like makeshift houses, and you use anything. I was watching my mother. She was a very resilient person, because she was actually a political post holder when this incident took place, around the time of the incident. She was a political post holder, and she actually went to Khartoum not as a displaced person. She went on an official mission. They were having an official meeting, and then changes also happened, and there was a new president came and the other president went. So when that president lost, she also lost her position. The political group of that president all lost their positions.
Okay.
So it was around that time that things intensified, because we were in a place called Juba, the major town of the south.
Okay.
And then the cutoff happened between Juba and the other territories of the south. So my five siblings were in another different territory in my hometown, which is called Yei. It's like 100 miles away from Juba. So first, we went in phases. First, we got cut off from the siblings. Then next, in another 2 years' time, things deteriorated in Juba. And by 1989, things were really bad. So that was around the time we moved to Khartoum.
So get to the song. Because when I was reading about it, you said you were looking at your mom.
Yeah, so I was
it because of her that this song came about?
Yes. So when we came to Khartoum, we found her. They had already lost their positions. And here is this woman who was in this position and now nothing.
Reduced to nothing.
Then next, from a hotel setting where she was officially, we moved away to the displaced camps. And I remember her colleagues, the fellow political post holders who used to be with her, they would come visiting and they would wonder how she was coping. Because what she did, when we went to the camp, she started making tea. So she would be selling tea by the roadside. And because she was aware and educated, of course, she got a license, unlike most of the women. So she could sell her tea by the roadside. But even so, the police would come and say everybody doesn't have a license. They would just generalize. They'll find one or two who don't have. Then they generalize the case and they usually come and break the glasses and do stuff like that. So it's a loss. So through all these hardships, my mother was there. It's a very humiliating thing for her, but she was doing it. So her colleagues would come and tell her, "Why do you do this? I mean, you don't deserve to be seen in this situation of humiliation. You could do something better." But she needed to survive, and she had children.
Had children to take care of.
Yeah. So in the middle of all this, she just kept a very positive mindset, and she never also allowed herself to break down because the five were missing. She has another five on the other side, so it's like she was calm and focused. In a short while, our conditions improved. She was I didn't break school at all. Mm. Even with all these problems.
Even with all this, you didn't break school.
I was lucky. Wow. The others did, but I didn't. Me and those who came with me to the north. So she just made sure that we went to school. She paid for our fees at a time when many southern people were not able to pay or even eat. But she was able to make ends meet, you know. And the money she got did not come from her political career. We were there and we were witnesses of it, that she made it through her tea selling by the road and the determination and everything. So it's this kind of stuff that made me start thinking, what does it take for a person to have that kind of a character, and why is she so different from the other? So I was just observing her. But at the same time, I know that she's going through a lot of trauma. So around that time, I started kind of writing a story. I don't know what I was doing. I just thought I was doing a poem.
Mm.
And I was very shy at the time.
And it became a song.
Yeah.
And did she know? Did you ever tell her that it is because you the inspiration of this song actually?
I didn't really tell her like that.
So you want to tell her now?
Maybe this is the time she would
so
know.
So go ahead. And let
this is the time now she should know, yeah.
Okay.
Because when I wrote the song, I just wrote it and she edited the song, though. I mean, the whatever I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my sister, the one I follow. She's very outgoing and I was shy. So I was also telling myself, what do you have, Victoria? What is it that you can also, you know?
What can you do?
What can you do?
All
so
right.
I wrote this poem. It's supposed to be a poem, not a song. Then my mom, she's a teacher professionally, so she looked at it and she said, "It doesn't look like a poem, it's more like a story. Where will you tell a story like this?" So with my guitar and three chords, I managed to come up with a tune, and I connected the two, the story and the tune, and it became a song.
I
taught it to one or two of my friends. They made it nice, and we presented. Everybody was applauding, so I noticed that it's something could present even in a much bigger forum.
And it's an award-winning song, too.
Yeah. So when we had this week in my university, after I joined university, I taught the song to some five girls, and we presented. They were so impressed, and we got this award.
Well, congratulations, even though it's coming in late, but at least it's nice to say congratulations. Well, now let's hear this song. It's beautiful. Cry for Peace. It's a beautiful song put together by our guest today, Victoria Ole Eluzai. Mama, if you're listening, this one is going specially for you. I will also dedicate it to you, even though you were not told originally and you helped edit it. But it's going specially for you. Victoria Ole Eluzai in that award-winning Cry for Peace. We cry for peace everywhere. When we were discussing earlier, I told you, I am also from a war-torn country, Sierra Leone. We were at war for 11 years. And so when you're talking about war, I know exactly what you're talking about. But we just want to keep this going, the African beat on the Voice of America. And it's a pleasure again having you here today. And now, this your album that I want us to talk about now, Salamia Sudan, because the Cry for Peace is not part of Salamia Sudan, okay? But let's look at Salamia Sudan. What is all this album about? Because when we look at your background, you are a professional health person, all right? And now you have a very big job out there in South Sudan. So how did you come about putting another album together, Salamia Sudan?
Yeah, I always treated music like my personal hobby, and I sing everywhere, even in my room to myself. I pick the guitar and I just make some lyrics, and every day I'm exposed to a situation, something comes to mind, so I kind of pick the guitar and put it into a tune, and then it works out. So I've been kind of accumulating this kind of many different pieces, a lot of them. Then when I was now in Nairobi, I one time realized that there is a studio facility, and why don't I just
go in there and do something.
Yeah, so I walked into, actually I discovered the studio because I had to make a song. I wanted to give a gift to a friend who was getting married, so I wanted to make it very special. I decided to compose a song, went into a studio, and that is how I found that the studio is something you can just walk in and do it.
And do it?
Yeah.
And you started doing it?
So I started doing it. All the small pieces. Every time I get one, I go to the studio. They accumulated. When there were like about 9 of them, I said, okay, release it. Now it's a full CD I can release.
You can release. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There's a song on the CD, Kakwa. Is this Kakwa? Kakwa or what?
Kakwa. How do you,
Kakwa.
Kakwa, yes.
Okay, because we have a city in Sierra Leone called Bo Kakwa.
Oh.
Yeah. So tell me about this Kakwa.
Kakwa is my tribe.
Okay.
And if you look at that song, it's very selfish. You'll see Kakwa in it, and you'll see Ole in it also. Kakwa is my tribe. And the songs in that CD are made up of songs that I composed originally. And some, one or two of them, I modified from some traditional melodies that are out there. I don't know the authors. Mm-hmm. They are just there, coming over the generations, okay, and will be passed on forever. Mm-hmm. So I found one such, and I like this particular one. So I modified it. It still carries the traditional effect, but it's very much changed
words. And those traditional folk songs are always there. And like you said, it is passing from one generation to the other. Anybody can come.
Yeah.
You don't know where they came from, but it's just part of the life that is going on.
Exactly.
All right. That is so great.
So Kakwa is the song is just like saying, this is me, Victoria, coming. And if you hear the sound of thunder, it's nothing but it's
nothing
music.
But it's me. It's
the music of Kakwa, and that's me. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's hear the song now, Kakwa. This is beautiful. Yeah. One thing I like about the song when I was listening to it, it has got the real African rhythm. All right, let's enjoy this one. Kakwa right now by Victoria Ole Eluzai. And by the way, we have Victoria's brother with us in the studio, who is also our special guest, Akim. And he's playing with Victoria on these songs. Let's get it on, Kakwa.
Mama, kasi sasi don, ayak.
Beautiful, yes. Kakwa is a lovely song. It's folk and it is just great. When you were in when it was just Sudan, even though you were coming from the south, and now you are in South Sudan, you have got your independence, and
now it's in our hands, and it's up to us to choose. We are given the ball, so let's choose. So the messages were all revolving around that, and so we chose. Now we have a country.
You have been in the struggle.
Yeah.
You know everything. You were there. You saw it. In the years to come, we'll be looking at you as somebody like the Miriam Makebas, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that we call Mama Africa.
Yeah.
You know, she fought her way through down in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And you have been in Sudan. And the name Ole Eluzai now is a household name in South Sudan. Let's generalize it in Sudan. Because when I was used to play your music, I just say Sudan. Mm-hmm. And today I say Ole Eluzai from South Sudan.
Correct.
This is, it is great,
right?
It's
amazing.
Right?
It's amazing. It's a dream come true to many. And I know the struggle has been so long. There were times when we really almost lost hope. It looked like it would never happen. Even when we were doing the referendum, we still had that fear, supposing it didn't happen. But when it finally, the declaration of the independence was a very emotional moment for most South Sudanese when the flag was going up. I don't know how many people couldn't stop their tears, you know. It was a very exciting moment. So this is really a great time. I remember times in Khartoum when we couldn't celebrate the Christmas. People are going to celebrate Christmas and they're going for exams. They set exams actually on Christmas Day.
Hmm.
Yes. And so you have no choice. It's either you do the exams
or you go for Christmas.
So this is really amazing. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's another song here, Lokiko. It is soft, it's beautiful. I love the rhythm. So tell me about Lokiko.
Lokiko is about domestic problems. This is a woman's lamentation. And she's talking to her husband, with whom they have separated. And he's mistreating her. He's not responsible. She has children. He's not helping her in taking care of the children after they separated. It's the typical scenario we always get there, where the man just walks away and leaves the woman with the children. And so she struggles. But these children, when they grow up, the man is going to claim rights over the children. He didn't raise them at all. He didn't know how they survived. But at the end of the day, he will come and say, "These are my children." And you know, in our tradition, when girls are getting married, there is always a dowry. They pay after the girl. So this is a time when the man now wants to enjoy, you know. And it usually becomes...
And is this a law?
It's a traditional law, I would say. Yeah, it's a customary practice.
And it's still in existence?
It's still in existence. In strong, very strong existence, yeah. So usually when it comes to marriages, then it's now the domain of the man. He didn't know how this girl grew up. But when it comes to that time, he now shows up and he's a father. And he wants to enjoy the dowry. In another setting, if it's a guy, then they are the ones to give.
So what is your message there? You have been in all of this trouble. So what is your message?
The cry of the woman is, I know that we have issues, we have separated, but you don't need to treat me the way you do. I'm still the mother of the children, so the children are still binding us. That time will come when culture will demand that you be the father and you'll be maybe in the, you know, heading the marriage arrangements. That is the time I want you to always remember. I will be the mother. If you call me bad names, I'm the mother of your children. If you insult my community, I'm the mother of your children. So it's just an appeal that a woman is like lamenting about.
So let's say we give this one to all those women that have
all
been going
those women.
Through
actually,
that kind
and it's based on that. I've seen it a lot around me. Within the close circles around me, and marriages have been just a mess. And I've seen a lot of scenarios when the man is really very unfair. So that was my view and my message to those
women. Well, you men out there, if you're listening, if you're being unfair, you have to change that, because we're coming right at you. This is the African Beat on the Voice of America. And now let's hear the song, Lokiko. I would call it the voice of those women, the voice of the women that are actually suffering out there. In the hands of you men. We'll be right back after the song.
Maybe you want me to add on Lokiko? It's the name means born on the street. So the woman was sent out of the man's house when she was going to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby was born on the streets. She didn't have a house. So these kind of kids are out there, many of them. So
and at the end of the day, when these kids grow up, the man will still come and say, "This is my child."
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when he prospers.
Lokiko. It is a message. Welcome back to the African Beat on the Voice of America. You've just listened to all these beautiful songs here by our sister Victoria Ole Eluzai from South Sudan. It's beautiful. So now, before we go to the last track, tell me your job as director of nutrition out there in South Sudan. You were in the struggle, and now you are part of what should make South Sudan be what it is. How do you face that challenge?
Well, I'm happy where I am. I'm glad that I am there. And it was actually a conscious choice because I had many other options. Actually, I had already started working in other settings. But I felt during my work in with NGOs and non-government, I realized there is a lot of things that need to change. There has to be some kind of power and influence that should change the way things are being done. There needs to be standards set here and there to bring the effects to the effect that you one is really looking forward to. And I have the training, I have the knowledge in that area, and there was no one the time I stepped in. So I said, here I am, this is my opportunity. By then, the struggle was still going on, but they were also already developing the civil authority. So they had set up some few services. So that was the time I stepped in 2004. Said, that's my chance. I need to be able to influence the way that they implement nutrition programs in South Sudan.
Okay, I always like to go back to these younger folks that will be out there in South Sudan, across Africa, that are listening to you right now on the African Beat, that know a little bit about struggle. Some of them don't even know what you went through out there and to where you are today. Mm-hmm. But they will be hearing your name, Victoria Ole Eluzai, when they look at your CDs, the music, on television, everywhere, and they look at the position you're holding today in the country. And they will want to be somebody like you. But you've come through a very long way to get to where you are. So what will be a message from you to the younger ones?
I'll say that, especially for South Sudan, there is room for each and every one of them out there to be what they want to be. And it takes their own vision, their determination to work towards a particular direction, not to put obstacles or assume obstacles on the way. The fact that people like us exist means that it's possible for somebody else to do it as well. It has never been difficult for me to run the two at the same time. I've managed to do the work that I have to do, my professional work, but also practice my talent and use it actually as a means also for delivering messages, which is still part of the burning desire that I have to change the society in South Sudan, to contribute something to the society. That is what I know many South Sudanese who are still young and upcoming, even the musicians that I have encountered now, they have that strong passion too. So my message is that let them have the courage to continue what they have started. It only takes them. It takes their own personal decision and determination to achieve, and always to think positive that I will achieve it and work towards it, not to relax and wait for somebody to come and help, but to do something about it, and somebody will see you and probably give you a help where you need.
Wow, that is well said. I couldn't ask for anything better. But I want to thank you for being my guest today on the African Beat, and I hope that anytime you're around here, it will be a pleasure for us to have you here in the studio. And anytime, any CD you have, just let it get to us, and definitely it will be out there on the radio. Like I said, I've been playing your songs even before meeting you today.
Yeah.
So it was so wonderful being here with me as my special guest. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you too.
All right. Well, with all of that today, I want to thank you for accepting me in your homes, in your cars, on the streets, wherever you are, listening to the African Beat on the Voice of America. And a big thank you to my guest, Victoria Ole Eluzai from South Sudan, and her brother, Hakim, who is also here with us. Thank you very much, Hakim, playing on the keyboard. Well, this family is full of talent. I tell you, they're full of talent. Everybody has got something to show. All right. Well, we're going to leave you now with this special track, Salam Ya Sudan. This is from her latest album. You need to get a copy. Just before that, if they want to get a copy of this album, how can they get it?
We have some albums already in several stores in Nairobi.
Okay.
But in Juba, they have to contact me.
They have to contact you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. You have to contact Victoria herself. And everything has been worked out for you. Till we meet again. I am David Vandy here in Washington. And on behalf of my engineers, I want to thank them very much. Fantastic job out there. Till then, salam. Ya Sudan. Bye-bye.
في وقت السلام.